Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you on this Friday, August the 22nd. I hope you are able to stay cool, not only today, but through the weekend and the last preseason game for the Saints as they take on the Denver Broncos. And the former coach heads here for a 12 p.m. start on August the 23rd, which is a Saturday game, not a Sunday game. I was talking to some folks the other day, and they were convinced the game was on Sunday. I said, nope. It's on Saturday, so you may want to check that out. We have a great show. We're going to visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, to talk about the Denver Broncos on their way in for the last game. Just announced, the Saints say that Spencer Rattler will be the starting quarterback on Saturday, so we'll get to see him, and maybe a few more of the starters might be taking the field as well. We will soon know. At 12 o'clock, Kenitra Kasten joins us, the Katrina 20 Committee. They have been organizing 100-plus events happening in three states. A bunch of it, in fact, the lion's share of it, is happening in New Orleans at Armstrong Park, Mahalia Jackson, and the Ash Cultural Center. We'll talk about the topics and the schedule for those that may have an interest. And I was perusing through the schedule last evening. They have some really interesting subjects to be talked about. At 11:30, Adam Tyner, National Research Director at the Fordham Institute and one of the authors of this study, will share a new report about exploring what teachers, those at the front lines of grading, really think about hotly debated grading reforms. Like, student turns in a paper, it's incomplete, got no answers right, that they're prohibited from giving them a zero, that the lowest grade that they can give them is a 50. Also, no late penalties. If you have stuff due on August 22nd, today, and they don't turn it in until after Labor Day. And unlimited retakes. Is that what we ought to be doing? So we'll see what the thoughts are of teachers in this study. Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber, will join us. They recently released the results of their 2025 permitting survey, reflecting the experiences of roughly 100 Jefferson Parish businesses. They were asking questions about projects that they embarked upon and the permitting process, and what they thought of it and how could it be improved. There's actually a task force that has been formed to do so, and we'll find out what the survey reveals and what are the next steps. At 10:30, Dr. Yi Jin Xu, he's a hydrology professor at LSU. The river wants to change its course. And there's a lot of different things going on. And there is a structure called the Old River Structure north of here that's as critical piece and location and operation along the Mississippi River relative to the future of this place that we call home. Because if it fails, we are down and out. And the question is, there are some issues relative to the collection of sediment that may be presenting a significant challenge. These are old structures where we're diverting, I guess, about 30%, maybe 20% of the water into the Atchafalaya River at this structure from the Mississippi. We'll talk more about this and a recent happenstance that has folks concerned as well. The Trump administration has canceled any additional funding for the study. And it's something that we obviously need to get all over in order to resolve that. So we'll talk to talk Dr. Yijin Xu, LSU hydrology professor, at 10:30. There is a lot going on in the aftermath of the indictment of Mayor LaToya Cantrell. I had the Attorney General Liz Murrell on the other day talking about the tickets issued in school zones, and that the law read that you had to have a share agreement worked out with the local school boards before you could actually implement and operate these cameras and begin to collect the fines. No big surprise here. The city of New Orleans did not have one. Can't explain why not. They just decided to take the course, probably with some crappy legal advice from somebody over there that doesn't understand how this operates, and began to collect the money and set it aside and figure it out on a later date. The AG, appropriately so says, why don't you take the time to read the statute? The language is pretty clear. Why are you wasting everybody's time? Why are we engaged in this exercise? And more importantly, not unlike a lot of other things that you attempt to do, why don't you just do it right for the first time? And therefore, no one has to waste their time, their effort, their money in trying to hold you accountable to get it right the first time. I guess you sense in my voice that frustration, right? This is crazy. Every day, another new issue, right? Every day. Of some of the lowest hanging fruit activities that we ought to be able to do with our hands tied behind our backs, our legs tied behind our backs, literally hog tied and blindfolded to get this done. But for some reason, we don't have a compass. We don't have a sense of direction. We don't know what the left hand is doing. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, and vice versa. And we just can't seem to get it straight. Oh, my God, this mayor's race could not come at a better time. And I hope and I pray that whoever is elected is able to gain a better understanding of the operations of government, the construct of your staff, and that we actually put people in a position that are not afraid to make a decision, not afraid to do the right thing, and not afraid to keep the ball moving down the field. Because without that kind of leadership at mid-management level, we're going to be right back where we were before. There's simply no doubt about it. We need somebody that's got a 50,000-foot view of how all these pieces and parts play with one another, in order to create the efficiencies, to develop effectiveness of all the processes, the whips, the works in process within the organization, to make sure that they are in fact aligned, that there is a time limit on how long they can keep an activity on their desk without it being resolved, that they show up for work, they actually do the work and not treat it as busy work, and they reach some conclusion and pass it on to the next individual that has to start that process all over through their lens and the multiple other people on the downstream that have to look through it through their lens as well. Now, that might all sound crazy to you, but that's how it works. And if there's impediments and hurdles and things like that, that we work hard in the first 3 months of this next administration to remove all of that, so this thing can flow without any unnecessary impediments and delay. Because the worst thing to just stymie and stifle economic development is uncertainty. you file for a permit, for example, in May, and things run well, and you go back in June for another one, and it's an entirely different experience. And no one can explain why. And there are now new things that are there that make no sense, or things that were taken out of the process that did make sense, because the next whip is going to be looking for that information, and you just soon have it in the paperwork at that point in time. Please, 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 let's get somebody that's able to do that. And let's ask these questions. One big question that we should be asking is a balanced budget. I will tell you again, in a conversation with Joe Geruso just a couple of weeks ago, we find out that sanitation department is approaching a $34 million deficit for this year. What? It was $27 million last year. What? In the low 20s the year before that. What? And then teens and then single digits. So it's not a new phenomenon. So one has to ask, of all the people in the upper echelon of the Cantrell administration, was anybody doing anything? Was anybody minding the ship? I mean, this is crazy. How do you find out 4 years later that you're running these successive deficits in sanitation? And I'll repeat myself again, because this is really important, because all of this is going to kick off after Labor Day, right? Who are these people do you think are going to be able to assemble a team? Because you're really voting for these folks partly on their ability to articulate things, to present on behalf of the city, to do a great job of representing the city, being quick on their feet, being able to articulate certain positions. But you're really banking on an individual that's going to be able to bring new talent, new folks to the forefront that they believe in the high likelihood of success of that particular candidate, and they want to be part of the journey. That's what this is about. You are voting for a candidate that you have a high confidence that they're going to be able to assemble a team that's excited about taking this journey with that candidate, and that they have the core competencies to be able to deliver. This is not an exercise of just being able to hire enough people. Because I will submit to you, the hiring of incompetent, ineffective people that are in over their head are so incredibly disruptive to the business operations of any business entity. Anybody who's ever served in that role, they will not agree with me. You have to incapacitate those individuals and get them the hell out of the organization, because they will make it miserable. And we know what that is, right? We've seen the byproduct of that. We've lived it for over 7 years. We've had so many people flying in and out of this administration that were so far in over their head, they didn't know. I can't say that on air. You know what I mean. How much more of this can we take? And these little examples, like the one with the traffic, you know, tickets, with the school people working out a deal. What are you waiting on? You're in a deficit posture. You need every red cent you can get. You don't have time to waste on these issues. School starting? You want to get these things up and ready? You want the third-party vendor to check to make sure that all the cameras are calibrated, they're doing the right thing, they're not going to be suspect to being challenged in court. You want to do all of those things. And if the statute says that you have to have revenue share agreement with the school board, well, damn it, get one. Why do we have to wait till the AG is threatening criminal action to get it done? It's a joke. Then we flip to this collection of sales tax, ad valorem taxes. And, you know, they put a number on the school system that's so onerous, it's ridiculous. It covers a good portion of the entire operations of the revenue department of the city of New Orleans. And the woman in charge of the organization continues to say things and that make really no sense, right? And she can't support or justify the amount of money that we're getting. And then, and that's Finance Director Romy Schofield Samuel. Why would the city want to pass an ordinance that would require us to work for free? Well, Romy, let me tell you why. Because for whatever reason, you have not been in a position to go before the council and actually justify with data why you think you're entitled to the number that you're getting, that anybody that looks at it as it relates to your overall budget feels that it's onerous. And that's only one tax recipient body, who, by the way, that's just one line represented on the tax bill that actually goes out. So you're not doing a whole lot of extra work for them. You're getting the tax roll from the assessor's office, that number, and you're putting that on the bill. And then they send you the tax payment in whole, and you separate out the school board's money and you send the money to the school board. There's not a whole lot of work going on there. Hopefully most of it's automated. You talk as though you're back in the early 1900s, right? And you're printing these bills that are going out on a printing press. You know better than anyone that's not what's happening. Yeah, I understand that you're down and out in Beverly Hills, and I understand that you have a minimum of a $73 million deficit, and I understand you have a $34 million deficit in the sanitation department. And if I might be so bold as to suggest, most people believe that your deficit is probably north of $100 million. But you don't try to make that up from being stupid. You got to be smart about what you're doing. And in the meantime, you're completely hurting and destroying a tax recipient body by engaging in the practice that you do. And if you had the evidence, like maybe an ordinance or maybe a state statute or something along those lines that actually give you the authority to collect it, it would certainly be nice to see. Because otherwise, any number that you put on it seems to anyone with a half a lick of sense to be arbitrary and capricious. And that doesn't bode well. But again, folks, I go back to Miss Romy should recognize that. It doesn't bode well for y'all. Why are we going through this exercise, and why can't we get behind a closed door, and why can we not work this situation out, and why can we not talk it through? Well, I'm going to answer my own question. Y'all been on that tit for a long time, and you don't want to get off. And one would think that you have grown up and you're old enough now to get off the tit. You got away with it for a whole bunch of years. There was a sweetheart deal settlement put on the table. Somebody over there, I don't know who, they really love being on the tip. They don't want to get off. It's time to get off. This case, ladies and gentlemen, just so everybody knows exactly how efficient we are in trying to manage this, has been going on for 6 years. 6 years. 6 years we've been dealing with this issue. 6 years, the possibility, if the city loses, that they've been basically stealing money from the education buckets for your kids. 6 years. I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem like anybody really cares. That's what it looks like to me. They don't give a damn. It's busy work. We don't care. We think we're entitled to it. We're arrogant. Well, hell, we got Mayor LaToya Cantrell as our leader. How could we be anything else? It's our way or the highway. They're wrong. We're right because we said so. Simple, right? We get to the last one real quick. Taxpayers are going to be paying for the defense of the mayor as it relates to this situation with Ms. Bro for the infamous picture on the balcony that the mayor decided to become retaliatory, recalcitrant, and try to put Ms. Bro in her place, embarrass Ms. Bro, and do all kinds of things to Ms. Bro to let her know who's in charge of the city. Well, you know, she's the frickin' mayor. We should know all of these things, right? But in the meantime, she engaged in some activities that, one, could cause the NOPD to lose access to certain data. That's probably not going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, someone should, I think, and maybe someone has been disciplined for this. I'm not certain where that investigation takes us. But this is not an official act. This is an intentional act that runs violative of the policies and the procedures of the NOPD and the agreement that the city has with the FBI and others as it relates to the maintenance, the upkeep, and the utilization of that database and all of that information that's provided that's simply there. So this is an intentional act on her part to act outside of the law, and that authority is not actually, she doesn't have that authority. Now she wants this thing to go away in the interim while she's trying to deal with her indictment, and thankfully, I think the court the other day ordered that they enter into settlement talks and get beyond this issue at this point in time. Because, again, this is crazy it, right? Crazy. There are a lot of folks that are saying, well, we only got 5 more months with this thing. Maybe it's okay if she stays till January 11th. I'm happy to give that up as my birthday present. That's the date of my birthday, her last day in office. I'm happy to sacrifice those events aligning. I've been very happy that they align on the same day that she's no longer there, but I am very happy to give that up and sacrifice that exuberant feeling on my birthday, knowing that it's the last day that the city of New Orleans ever has to deal with Mayor LaToya Cantrell. So I'll go on record right now. I'm happy to give it up. So let's hope that she resigns. Because if you really believe that there's not a whole lot more that she can do to just screw up all kinds of different things, we're seeing it right now. She ought to be this. All of this stuff ought to get resolved. All of it. And could be resolved in 3 days. Maybe now she's in the office and maybe now we can possibly get it resolved. Maybe we should give her another week. I don't know. I just think, why run the risk? Let Joe Threat deal with it. And let's say, hasta la vista, baby. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, when it comes to the Mississippi River and the flow and a lot of the other circumstances in and around the management of the river, what you find is it's pretty fragile. And it takes a lot of intervention in order to make things actually work. And there was an incredible article in the Times-Picayune written by Mike Smith on August the 7th. I would check it out. Very well done. You get to see a map of the old river control complex that we're going to talk about. And why this is really coming to the forefront is that there was a study that was being conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to see whether or not they could utilize more dynamic management of flow through the old river, which could be beneficial as a result of some other things happening that our guest, Dr. Zhi Jun Xu, will be telling us about in a moment. So it's critical that they get the funding to get back onto this study because of rain rates, because of sediment in the river and otherwise. And our guest, Dr. Xu, is here. He's a LSU hydrology professor. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Doc, I hope I touched on a little bit of setting up this conversation and just how fragile and how difficult it is to maintain the river, because as you pointed out in the article, the Mississippi and the Atchafalaya River are truly in love with one another. They want to be one, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Mississippi River has changed its course several times in the past 7,000 years. So there is always a possibility that the river switches its course back to its ancient river channel.
And the old river structure that's made up of a number of different pieces and parts to include dams, gates, a lock, a hydroelectric plant, controls working in tandem, control all of this river flow to make sure that that doesn't happen, right?
Yes, that is true. So basically, the old river control structure is designed to control flow into the Atchafalaya. So usually about 25 or on an annual basis, 25% of the Mississippi River's water is diverted into the Atchafalaya on annual basis. Yeah.
And you also have a third river that comes into play, the Red River, that runs into the Atchafalaya as well. And this structure creates a mix of Mississippi River water as well as Red River water into the Atchafalaya.
Yes, yeah. The entire flow of the Red River goes into the Atchafalaya, joined by 25% of the Mississippi River's water. So the flow in the Atchafalaya fluctuates depending on the diversion ratio of the Mississippi and also the flow of the Red River.
So let's look at this for a moment from a macro sense. If we were to go north, all the way to the Canadian border, a good percentage, and I forgot what the number was, of water from that area flows right through that old river structure every year, right?
Yes, yeah. The Mississippi River basin is fairly large. It collects water from the Canadian border, like you just mentioned, from that region, which we call the upper Mississippi River basin. But the river also connects the water from the Ohio River basin, Tennessee River basin, and the Missouri River basin, and the Arkansas White River basin. So the majority of freshwater contributed to the Mississippi River channel above the old river contour structure is mainly from the Ohio River basin. So the Ohio Tennessee River basin contributes about 60% of the flow, while about 70% of the sediment is contributed by the Missouri River basin. Yeah, it collects a lot of flow from various tributaries. Missouri, Arkansas, Upper Mississippi, and the Ohio River basin.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you say that one of your concerns at this point in time, because of the amount of rainfall, the flow rate of the water, coupled with the amount of what you just talked about, sediment that is flowing down the river, both that's located both north of the old river structure as well as south of the old river structure, could potentially be the perfect storm to create a situation where the old river structure would fail. Is that correct?
Yes, the situation is this. When water with sediment comes down from the upper river basin to the old river contour structure, so like we already know, about 25% of the water is diverted into the Atchafalaya River, but not the same percentage of sediment is diverted into the Atchafalaya. So most sediment remains in the Mississippi River main channel, and this sediment moving down or moving south of the old river contour structure, because of deceleration of water, so reduction of water flow, sediment becomes seeded below the old river contour structure and making the river bed rising up. The river bed elevation increases, creating like a dam effect. So backing flow back from the Mississippi main channel back to the old river contour structure. So during a high flow event, this backwater can be very powerful. So the backwater will flow back towards the structure and could potentially overwhelm the structure. Yeah. There are two concerns. One is the sedimentation below the old river contour structure that will create increase, strengthen the dam effect. It's just like a dam. Mm-hmm. And another one is there is already huge amount of sediment piled upstream of the old river contour structure. From that point to Vicksburg, there are over 5 million tons, 500 million tons of sediment piled in the river channel, based on our estimation. that amount of sediment can migrate downstream and then making the situation even further worse. So that is our concern. Yeah.
And the way that the water flows is kind of an issue too, right? Because it's got this churning action where it's actually, that's why it's able to move a lot of this sediment downriver, correct?
Yes. Yeah. During high flow, the river bed could be scoured. The sediment will migrate downstream. So the sediment is in high dynamics. They can migrate and then stop and migrate and stop depending on flow.
So, Dr. Xu, in the end, that is why there's this concern that we really need to get back to this study, because by law, the flow rates are set by federal law. And what everybody's looking for is to be is to have the ability to change that depending on conditions that are presented, instead of being just locked into this one baseline that was actually established back in the 1950s. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So it's important that they get this study back up and running to give the folks that are managing the flow the ability to deal with the phenomenon that you just outlined, because you believe it could provide or could be a very dangerous occurrence, one that we might have to take measures to deal with that we really don't want to take.
Yeah, we definitely need to do more study and to also do some physical experiment to see how what is the threshold that could trigger such an event to occur. So we needed to figure out the threshold under which situation, under which flow condition that could occur. And given the changing climate and given the change in extreme precipitation in the upper Mississippi River Basin. So there are several critical issues that we needed to study. And in addition to that, we also needed to do risk assessment and preparation assessment for a situation when such an event occurred, how we could fix the problem in a very short time, you know.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Because you would be just taking a shot in the dark otherwise, without any empirical data or study to back up what you're looking at. Dr. Xi Shun-Chu, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we get this thing refunded and back up and running, because if the river alters, New Orleans is out of luck. And it's not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. LSU hydrology professor. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.